don't know, because we thought that the strike has been called off and there are people still think about going on strike. Honourable members, good morning and welcome. We're starting a bit late because we're trying to get as many members as possible to be able to start with the meeting. Maybe what we need to revisit is the issue of 9:30. Well, I think that 9:30 is fine on Monday, I mean on Tuesdays. If not, what do we do? On Fridays, there are some people who on Fridays, for instance, I don't know whether you get apologies, but sometimes I see people, I don't get messages that so-and-so is not going to be around, and I assume that people have disappeared then if I don't see them in meetings on Fridays. But I would really like us to consider, because the problem that we will be sitting with is that if we don't work, can't start on time on Tuesdays, we don't work on Fridays, it means that we have actually one day. It is Wednesday. I think that maybe something that members need to have. I know some members complain that they have management meetings on Mondays. Management meetings on Mondays sit late. but my own proposal is that maybe Congress should ask their constituencies to have earlier meetings so that at least we can start on time on Tuesdays. Today is better, we're dealing with the report, but we must also conclude this report. We can't deal with it forever. We must finish it sometime. But sometimes it's going to be very difficult not to have a quorum, the required quorum on meetings on Tuesday. So maybe something then management should look at. How do we want to deal with it? We don't want to say members are late, but maybe we can try to structure some arrangements that will make all of us comfortable. Another.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm coming to the issue of management meetings. It's just that I am fortunate because I can get my plane from OR in the mornings. It's quite difficult for members to try to call them earlier, because they'll always be saying I'll be coming from work. We have on my management there are two teachers who can't just leave school before time, so we have to wait for them to travel after the constituency. And I'm fortunate because I have an earlier plane on Tuesday. I can leave OR at 6:30 to be here in time. And I think as long as they told us that they'll find us during the process of the meeting, at least we know that they'll be coming. It just becomes a problem when you know that the person is not coming. And I think we have four sort of working days where no one has an excuse, or and we can't turn it into a Wednesday only, because a Friday is a working day. As long as we can tell ourselves that Friday is a working day, at least up to 1 o'clock, so that everybody must go, because there won't be any excuse for anyone to say, I can't come on Friday. And then we can also, as we say in management, look at whether we can extend our times, looking at what is happening in the house, what is on plenary, and then those days we work up to 4 o'clock. But we are not going to reduce the number of working days to 1 or 2. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I think ourselves as a committee must learn to manage our time, because I think we also have got a problem in managing our time. If we start at whatever time, we must manage the business within that time. It is possible.
Welcome, Honourable First. No, it's fine, Honourable Members. Let's try our best. Okay, we're dealing with the second draft of the fourth quarter report. We are on page 11. There were omissions that were there. They have since now been included. I think that all the other issues have been dealt with, except those issues that are underlined. In the context of what Honorable Mabo was saying, maybe we should start there. Thank you, the research team. There's another thing that I would like to raise at some other time, Honorable Members. Togo is away, is writing yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yeah. I think she will be with us later. The research unit has assisted us with this report. Can you take us through and Susan, I'm sure, will inform Honorable Schwartz that he wants to finish at 12.
I missed the first part of the discussion. But I just want to say that, you know, on a Tuesday morning, I can fly and be here at 9:30. But I can't make it at a meeting at 9:30. I'm not going to fly on a Monday at 3 o'clock to come and sit here in Cape Town and do nothing. If I lived in Johannesburg, it was fine, because then I could take the 6 o'clock flight, I don't mind. But I don't live in Johannesburg. But we can finish at 10 o'clock, Chair, if we move.
If you want to move to Joburg, there's a lot of property we can organize for you. Now, what we were saying earlier is that we will look at the challenge and then of starting on time on Tuesdays. But there might be, sometimes now we're dealing with the reports. Maybe it's not that strict, or maybe not be that strict on time. But there might be times when we're dealing with some what we call the substantive stuff where we'll require all members to try to make a time on what we call it. In fact, we'll always make a request to members that we all have to be there at 9:30, so that if we have a quorum, then it's fine. Maybe we have hearings or we have this and that. It's important that we. But we're not going to be difficult, you know.
Thank you. I don't want to be difficult either, Chair, because we normally don't start on time in any case. It's always half an hour later.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Lomo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Morning, honorable members, Chairperson. Yes, Chairperson. We're on page 11. We're starting on the section which talks about Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and the bullet. That is where we made our changes, which were requested by the committee in the previous meeting. We started to making these recommendations these changes on the underlined section, where it says the committee noted that the department had presented to Parliament a strategic plan outlining its expected expenditure for the financial year 2009-10. An amount of 120 million was approved for loans. However, only 66.1 million was dispersed at the end of the fourth quarter 2009-10 financial year. The committee was informed that in some cases, farmers were reluctant to take up the loans offered by the department and were more interested in the grants. The department reported that it was reorganizing itself with the land bank to address the challenges observed by the committee. It noted that its report was on the situation at present, but that improvements were expected in the near future. It was reported that there were 146,000 reprioritized programs to address distressed farms. The term distressed farms referred to three distinct types of farmers. One, about 30 farmers who were not willing to repay an amount of 50 million. Two, those farmers who were trying to ensure that their farms were productive, they would have to give over ownership of the farms to the department and for 5 years would not be repaying the loan. After 5 years, they would repay the loans and regain ownership of their farms. Deserted farms, number three, deserted farms which the land bank would have to repossess. It was reported that these were farmers who had borrowed money from the land bank. Within 3 months of not paying the bank, put one in arrears. After about 6 months, the bank looked at the portfolio to see how it could be restructured. The third step was pre-legal, which took about a year or two, where the bank engaged the farmer to look into the problem. The legal stage was the final stage where the bank took legal action and repossessions. The committee sought to establish whether the department had only historical data in terms of programs, such as that of distressed farmers. Such data will entail information about previously distressed farms and what interventions were undertaken and subsequent results. The department reported that CASP, Landcare, MAFISA, and Page 12, AgriBEE, and ILI Maletsema were part of a turnaround strategy that it had put in place and would present to the committee at the earliest opportunity. The committee resolved to invite the department again to present its turnaround strategy. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sir.
Okay, just a small issue. We started off within the department that presented to Parliament its strategic plan. But that strategic plan which you were referring to there refers to MAFISA specifically. And, you know, if anybody who's outside and doesn't know will think it's the department itself, and I think we should just indicate there that it's MAFISA and not the department.
Thank you. Any other observation? No, I think that also, Honorable Swart, I have noted that sentence is incomplete as it stands, because I think you're right that we needed to contextualize it into what is it that we're talking about on the strategic plan. If it's with respect to MAFISA, it's fine, as Honorable Swartz has said, so that because this report truly becomes a public document now. I understand that students as well would do public policy also would want to read this, but they must make sense to everyone. So maybe we just need to do is to clarify it. Ne? The committee noted that the department had presented to Parliament a strategic plan outlining its expected expenditure for
the Parliament, the Mafisa strategic plan.
Outlining
the Mafisa strategic plan.
Or its goals for the whether it's for the empowerment of your emerging farmers, whatever I said, so that people understand what is the context that we're talking about here. An amount of 420 million was approved for loans. However, only 66.1 was dispersed at the end of the fourth quarter. Financial committee was informed that in some cases farmers were reluctant to take up the loans offered by the department and were more interested in grants. Is it what you call it? The department was saying that the committee, the farmers were not were reluctant to take up loans.
Yeah, Chair, I think that's what the department was alluding to, that the especially the emerging farmers were not very keen to take up the loans. Due to their capacity, when you take loans, you must have all the requirements, you know, to place, to put up the surety and stuff like that. So they're more interested in grants, and they know that grants, you know, are not that strict as your loan can be.
Okay. Welcome. Page 11. It was reported that there were 146,000 reprioritized programs to address distress funds. Is this 146 of reprioritized programs or farms that needed support? I don't know. I don't have the notes in front of me. I don't know if someone would remember. Because it was reported that there were 146,000 reprioritized programs to address distressed farms. Or is it 146,000 for reprioritized programs?
The problem here with this specific item, we had three departments. We called agriculture to speak specifically about Mafisa. We called land bank maybe to come and explain why they were there. We called DPSA, where we found that DPSA cut itself out immediately from the beginning. And then we remained with two departments, one talking about Mafisa and what it did not do, and that list of those many projects which they said they had and what they had given to who. And here was Land Bank at least giving, telling us the good things they were trying to do and what had happened. And I wonder if this report could just focus there and leave these big figures, because I don't remember the 30 farmers. I just remember that they said the repayments, the distressed farmers were in three ways: those who could not pay, those who wanted to pay, and those others, I don't know who did what, who left their land barren. Three. And then all these many explanations will leave us somewhere where we'll even hear Jubat say, who, Peterson saying, no, I don't know anything about that stuff, you know, from my department, because they just told us what distressed farmers were and what the programs were, which confused me, but if they got it right, then let's have it right and agree that we agree on those 140,000 programs which might be queried. I didn't hear them, and I didn't hear about the 30 farms. If you can just say those who could not pay, those who wanted to pay but didn't have money, and the land left barren, maybe for land bank to take back, I don't know. But leave out many other things which, if we need to explain further, we can, because we had those three departments at the same time, but land bank, DBSA, ended wondering why they were there, because they didn't even have a cent from the department or what, and they were spectators like us, and they felt they shouldn't have been called because they didn't have any money from, if we can recall what they said, and you put it in a way that will be acceptable to us, and leave as many information that came out when we were probing, but be sure of what you say. The person I think who probed a lot might have been Mr. Ramatlaka, Honorable Ramatlaka, and I don't know. And then he'll just tell us that that's what was the response on those things. It's just that he came after we started, but to be sure of what we had. But the distressed, let's just write three sentences, leave the 30 farmers who can pay, but if we want to have them on, we can have them on. And then, Mr. Ramadan, you asked a lot of questions and make sure that this report is right.
Address me. The other part, you didn't hear the other part. I didn't hear it myself. But if you could comment, I just want to come back when you're done. Yeah.
No, thanks. I won't confine myself to the table. Che, I think that if my memory and my notes help me, the 146. It was 146 million, which was meant for to help farmers in distress. That's what they had in their budget. Million. 146, not program, money. 146 million. There were 205 farmers needing help in distress, if you remember.
Yeah.
And the issue was that they don't have enough money to deal with that because there are too many farmers that needing help. But all what they had in their budget was 146 million. So I think what we need to do in the report, we should refer not program is money that they had compared to the needs. Otherwise, they had a meager budget compared to the needs which was major in terms of. And we remember we asked the words, what does distress mean? Then he explained what it means. So that's if my notes here, I can rely on my notes. There were 30 farmers who were able to pay. Right? There was that issue about how many farmers, because it was the issue about loan and who are willing and those who are not willing. So there was 30. The 30 who can pay but
who
not
could,
willing.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, they have money, but they are not willing to pay. Yeah, an amount of 50 million.
Number two?
No, distress farmers, I think it is this description. So,
Chair, I just want to probably comment on the issue that Honorable Mashego was raising, that we check out some figures, like with 30 farmers and the 50 million, because when I'm checking with my note as well, I think they did give that description that Honorable Mashego is giving. Yes, without figures. Yes, without figures. Yeah. So it's fine. That should be taken care of. Thanks.
Now, I think that Honorable Mashego now is happy that the 146 has been what they call it clarified, that it was the 146 million. I'm sure I would all remember now that it's the 146 million that they were having. Not necessarily a reprioritized program. I think that we should just. But the question of distress, the description of the distress, there's no problem. What else now?
Okay.
Good afternoon and welcome.
Merry Christmas, Jay.
We are on page 11.
Thank you.
Okay. It was reported that these farmers who had borrowed money. These were farmers. Oh. Yes, these were farmers who had borrowed money from the land bank. Within 3 months of not paying, the bank puts them. Again, I think that maybe that sentence, it should be one sentence, but properly what you call it, structured. I'm not sure, because I think that the other part says after about 6 months, the bank looked at the portfolio to see how it could be restructured. And I thought that the bank was, after about 6 months, would not necessarily put the farmer in arrears for not paying it within 3 months. But after 6 months, the bank then would look at the portfolio to see the how this could be. I mean the amount borrowed could be restructured. It was reported that these were farmers who had borrowed money from the bank, from the land bank.
I think what is said is that after 3 months it is regarded as being in arrears. But they only take action after 6 months to see how the portfolio can be restructured. What I would say. It was reported that these farmers have borrowed money from the land bank. After 3 months, farmers were not paying the bank are regarded as being in arrears. But only after 6 months, the bank will look at the portfolio to see how it can be restructured.
Actually.
think that the paragraph is fine, but I think we'll have to reorganize the whole paragraph. But sometimes I think this sentence, some sentences, they look like incomplete, you know, that will
on page 12, the National Treasury's expenditure amounted to 176.8 million, which was 0.3% of the total appropriated funds. The underspending emanated from the asset and liability management, financial management and systems, provincial and local government transfers and fiscal transfer programs. The committee's main focus was on the Neighborhood Development Partnership Grant, NDPG, and the provincial and local government transfers program. National Treasury reported that slow spending in this area was affected by a lack of spending by some municipalities resulting from high staff turnover rates, delays and irregularities in some municipalities, or in tender processes. The need for intensive support and monitoring by a third of the recipient municipalities, low level of accuracy in cash flow, forecasting for large multiple stakeholders programs, the need for municipalities to meet the conditions and objectives of the grant as per the Division of Revenue Act and municipal capacity for budgeting. Due to the lack of underspending by the municipalities of Neighborhood Grant Partnership, Neighborhood Development Partnership Grant, the National Treasurer was providing technical assistance to municipalities in an effort to address this challenge. Members of the Standing Committee on Appropriations and Portfolio Committee on Public Works both emphasized that National Treasury should set an example for other departments in its spending trends since it deals with budget allocations.
Any comments?
I just want to find out from the writer that second sentence there that deals with the high staff turnover rate. What is the writer communicating?
Sorry,
I'm just asking just for clarity so that I am on the same page with the writer. There's a sentence there that ends with the high staff turnover rate.
Basically, Honorable Ramasekhan, what we are saying is that an underspending of this grant, which is an NDPG by National Treasury, resulted from municipalities not being able to claim it because of a vacancies in the particular program. They don't have capacity. And now they're not in a position to claim that fund, that grant. I think, but CISO can assist.
Thanks, Chair. I think what that sentence serves to address is that the low spending, you see, by municipalities, it was due to the vacancies that those municipalities has. Because, for example, if I think the general trend to municipalities that they have a serious shortage, particularly where the technical skills are concerned. So that had an impact in terms of them spending that particular grant in their own programs. So I think it's just a number of vacancies from the municipalities that would assist, you see, to spend the neighborhood development partnership grant.
I think I hear the clarity, and the language used on the clarity is not the language written here. Because if you read this, the high staff turnover rate, it communicates a different message to the reader, yeah, than what you're explaining. So if you just can recast it.
I don't know, Honorable Matarana, that's why I was saying, so if you could clarify for us the question, because I think that what is conveyed here, and is what was presented by National Treasurer, is that from time to time, I mean, you remember we said, and this report in the next third paragraph perhaps does not capture it as clear as it was indicated that this is a complicated program where municipalities, even us as members, we did say that is complicated, we can't understand it, so that's why there is no spending, because nobody understands what you're trying to do exactly. Now, they were also saying to defend themselves, they were saying there was this turnover of staff at municipalities, this time they deal with this person, the next time the people that they had dealt with in the previous year were no longer there. And that's how this thing came out. Maybe, I'm not sure whether you're saying that it's not capturing it as clear as that, but I think the issue was that they are not able to, I mean, they contributed their understanding to the fact that there's a high turnover at the level of the municipalities. But all we were saying is that it doesn't matter whether they were dealing with the same people. The issue is just complicated for municipalities. And in fact, when we thought that they were supposed to spend, they were saying this grant is meant to leverage, to mobilize resources elsewhere. You remember?
Yeah.
Yes, they were saying it's meant to do that. So I thought that they were complicating it more, you know. But I think the issue maybe also that we try to say, we say they should simplify this program. Maybe this somewhere, I mean that paragraph should, thank you very much. Yeah. That paragraph should also be able to clarify those things, you know.
No, Chair, I would have maybe suggest to simplify that issue with municipality. Well, I think the message that we are communicating is that as a result of our due to lack, I think it's a lack of staff capacity that is resulting into this non-spending because they don't have the capacity. So you'd write it simply due to lack of staff capacity and then delay on that and then you continue. Because actually that's what it is. So I think let's just call a spade, not a digging instrument.
Call it a spade. I'm just wondering, Chair, whether the sentence is very long and very long-winded because of all the reasons that he's advancing why there's a problem. And I'm just wondering whether we shouldn't make it the following. So the committee's main focus was on the Neighbourhood Development Partnership Grant and the Provincial and Local Government Transfer Programs. National Treasury reported that slow spending in this area was affected by the following. Well, and then, stop there and say, one, the high staff turnover, two, intensive support and monitoring by a third, low level of accuracy and capital forecasting, four, this, so it becomes easier and clear.
On page 14, 5.9, members, the committee found that the Department of Rural Development had utilized an amount of approximately 700 million of its budget to settle court orders based on litigation awarded in favor of applicants. 5.10, read as follows, a further 4,000 claims against the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform could not be quantified. This could put a further strain on the department's budget. 5.11, the Department of Art and Culture had not developed an adequate risk management strategy to safeguard departmental assets. 5.12, some departments still used the misalignment of financial years between the national, provincial, and local government as a reason for low spending. The committee noted this as an excuse for underperformance, adding that the reforms in management of governance finance, including the MTF, recognized long-term planning.
I think this one is here, up to 12, I agree with.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure in your notes, Tom, whether you have captured the... There was an issue at the earlier part of the report that dealt with something. I was just trying to check my notes, which was a part of finding.
Chair, I think they actually said 700 million, and they did not say approximately, if I remember very well and what I written.
That's why I want to hear from you, because I know this 700 million was the issue the other day when we were dealing with this thing, whether it was 700 million, but in their response, which was crafted in such a way, in a very confusing way, was that out of their budget, they ran short of 454 million. So, yes. Now, in other words, they were not saying to us clearly that... That's the amount that they paid for litigation or what. But as it was clarified the other day, that it's Member Steyn actually who drew this, and I happened to speak to her again just to get this 700 million because it's not coming out clearly. Honourable members would remember we really harped on this issue. What is your budget for litigation? And they were not ready. I mean, they were not prepared to tell us what is it. So I think then
approximately, is trying to make room that because they were not committing themselves. But I think it's only when Member Steyn then had raised this matter that, I don't know, in their previous annual report, they had said it's 700 million or so, then that. So, I mean, for me, I don't know, well, subject to correction, they didn't commit themselves, but it was 700 million, plus, minus, or what, or less, or what.
No, those 4,000 cases, Chair, were 70 billion.
Yeah.
The 4,000 cases of signed agreements.
No.
What Honorable Swart we're talking about is the amount for litigation.
Oh yes. I'm sure we'll still see another million.
But let's leave it as is. You want to come, Sizo, you wanted to come in on what Honorable Ramanhlangana was talking about. Let's just deal with this. Let's finish this first.
Chair, I propose that we double-check the figure before the report gets into the ITC.
Yeah,
the department. Because they did not give a clear figure, as you are indicating. The 700 million was just, they were saying it's just around that. It might be 710 million, it might be 760 million. That's why we said approximately. Because we don't want to commit the committee into a figure that we were not given a clear indication.
But we
double check with the department before the report gets to the ITC. So.
You covered this.
I think to a certain extent, Chair, because I agree with Padelani to say they specifically they were not really sure as to how much was it spent on the court orders, but they approximated it to 700 million. And if my memory still serves me correct, I think there was a written explanation that was required from them. So I'm not sure if it covered the amount of 700 million. Thanks.
Chair, check it first, but I would like to suggest on 512, in the last sentence of that paragraph, some changes there. And instead of saying the committee noted, I would like to see that the word noted replaced by the word regarded. The committee regarded this as an excuse for underperformance, adding that the reforms in management of government finances, including the MTMF, and then I would like to say specifically available for long-term planning.
Mataka, don't you want to put that in a positive, that this alignment continues perhaps to pose challenges for departments? Because some of them, that's what they're saying. We can't really totally dismiss it as an excuse. I don't know. But, that's how I feel that... that's what they are saying. But and it's a fact that there is that difference of 3 months, within which they have to the financial year, our financial year ends end of April, theirs end of June, that gap. But all I'm saying, I'm agreeing with this, but I just wanted not to put it negatively in the way we're doing it. Honorable Swart, I'm going to start with you. You have suggested.
I don't agree that the 3 months is such a huge problem. Because when we do the division of revenue and everything is already available to departments, they know exactly how much money they can actually make available to municipalities or to local authorities. But instead of sitting there and waiting until July before they tell them what they've got, they can tell them in March and say, listen, even in February when the Division of Revenue comes out, they can say, listen, you're going to get so much money for these projects. Start planning them, so that when July comes, you know that the money will be paid over to you and you can then start doing the job. But now they wait until July, and then nothing happens until July. Now they use it as an excuse.
The fact that the air transfer I think we are in agreement that this is a challenge. But the thing is, every year, even within this first quarter report that we have, COGTA has not spent on their transfers, because in terms of the law, they can only transfer at the beginning of the financial year of what. That's why I say it's a challenge. To me, it's a challenge that must be dealt with. You know, I don't want us to put it as just an excuse when it's a fact of life that these years financial years continue to pose a challenge. Susan?
Honourable Mtana,
did you want to comment?
Yes, Chair, I wanted just to say, because we're talking findings, they're bound to be cold, because the finding is findings. Maybe in the recommendation to change the language, but as to what you find is what you find. So it's either red or blue. So here I think the findings is straight. I mean, it's really excuses. There's nothing else. There's no other words. You can find another word, but that's simply excuses that people don't know. But the information is available. Can I go to that part I wanted to comment on the recommendation on the findings?
Okay, then, sir. I just wanted to assure the committee that the finding, it was crafted based on the popular view of the committee that the MTF, you see, it was meant there for long-term planning. And it was also informed by the fact that not all the government departments experience the problem of underspending. For example, if you can go through COGT, this is the one that was supposed to be debated by the processes, you find that they spend plus minus 98% to 99% of their budget. So it shows you that really the challenge is not around the issues of the misalignment of financial years. I think it's more around the issues of planning. Because if COGTA can spend, you see, plus minus 99% of its funds, so why not, you see, from other departments? So I think it was based on that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
When we were dealing with the rural development land reform, there was that issue about something called leave gratuity payment, less than what was anticipated. If you remember that we spoke to the department about this, in fact I did ask a question, do they budget to buy leave? Employees leave at the end of the period. There wasn't any answer to that question. Because they said we budgeted, but actually the gratuity payment in lieu of leave was less than what we anticipated to be. So now we did say that in the findings, we should capture something in the findings around that. So maybe I can just quickly just throw the wording. We can see if you like it. And I'm not going to go to war with the wording. I would simply say that the department, which is the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, that the department has budgeted for leave gratuity, which in the view of the committee seems to be inappropriate. Now, if an employee are due to take leave, they are due to take leave at a particular time. So they say here, we do budget that some point you must buy off, you mustn't go on leave, we must pay you instead of taking leave. That's what they will say here, which seems to be quite inappropriate, because the rule a bit strict with regard to paying employee leave rather than them working and taking leave, if you understand what I'm saying. So a person who's employed must take leave. Now, and there's a particular time in a year where they will tell you that if you don't take leave, you're going to forfeit so many days of your leave. Now, contrary to that particular rule here, it's the other way around. They're saying, we can buy you, we can say, stay at work, we'll pay you for leave that you have not taken, which seems to be inappropriate in terms of the rule. I wanted just to suggest that wording. If you like it, we can change it around, but since it's not tight, I'm saying it seems to be inappropriate.
I hear what Honorable Ramasagana is saying. The only thing that worries me about his proposal is that there might be something in the conditions of service of civil servants that they are allowed to buy some of their leave. That this department, you know, budgeted for a certain portion of it, but it wasn't taken up.
You see, I hear what you're saying, but I think that Honorable Ramatakana, you should know better than many of us here. It's that sometimes in some departments, I think they do it I don't know whether they do it because of staff shortages or what, where they say that, look, instead of taking leave, we will, what you call you, will compensate you for that because we need you here or whatever. And workers sometimes prefer taking monies and don't go and leave. So... I don't know, you're saying it's inappropriate. I don't know in terms of the law whether it's inappropriate or appropriate or what, but the reality of the matter is that that's what happens. There's a choice of taking a leave. In some places, these leaves accumulate, you know, over time. I don't know what is the right thing. I really don't know. But... yeah, maybe we. I hope that your sentence has been taken. Can you read it for us, Sir Honorable Ramata?
Can I just say that let me just say what happens if an executive authority, and for example, maybe HOD is due to go on leave. And the executive authority says to him, you can't go on leave. And you can't go on leave because of reason A, B, C, D. That's when the leave is now coming to a period of lapsing. So there will be a written acknowledgement. The HOD, otherwise the executive authority will then say to the HOD, based on this reason, you can't go on leave. So instead, because your leave is going to lapse anyway, we'll rather compensate you towards the leave. It's something that is managed, because you don't want, it's not something that is not open, wide, that everybody can take and just work and then take leave at the end as a money. So it's something that is written. So what for me was a bit strange on this issue, we're dealing with the issue of expenditure and the issue of high or low expenditure. So their point was, we did not spend enough because on the item called travel, leave, and so on, gratuity, we did not spend as we anticipated. So the question that we asked was, how much did you budget to buy leave of employee? How much was it? Quantum, in terms of money. So they couldn't explain. They couldn't answer that question because I asked a specific question. How much did you budget for this? So I'm not saying it's something that is not permitted. It is permitted, but it's limited. It is limited and it's managed. So that's all I'm saying, Chair. And therefore, that's why when I say, seems to, in the view of the committee, seems to be inappropriate, was fairly loose. Because they can then explain to say, no, here the DG, there was a need. We only have one inspector. So this inspector could not go and leave because then we're going to have a shortfall here and therefore the inspector was given a grant permission to continue to work, but we bought his leave. That's what happened.
Okay. Well, you said you're not gonna
go to war for it.
It's fine. Honorable Harold Blum. Honorable Harold Blum.
Yeah.
How many days do we travel from the Free State?
Depends on whether it's by God or place.
Sorry. Welcome, Honorable Kage. I hope you're fine health-wise.
No,
okay. Now we're happy to have you. Okay. We're now dealing with the recommendations. The recommendation that to deal with, are we done with those?
Yes, sir. The findings.
It's 14.
Have we done with the findings? That is on page 14. Eh? Department of Transport, it's just 6.4. Department of Transport should submit a detailed report outlining its plans to address overspending on the bus subsidies program to Parliament within 1 month after the adoption of this report by the House. What was the recommendation, by the way?
They're basically asking that plan gets submitted. It doesn't even have to say that the actual plan itself must be fully passed, but what plan is there to change it? So it gives them a month to develop some kind of a planning framework.
Uh-huh.
To me, within that month, it's not asking them to actually implement that turnaround strategy. It's asking them to report how they're going to do it.
I'm sure we can be persuaded to even extend that to 2 months, actually. Yeah, 60 days. The reason why I'm just requesting that we give them a little bit of time is that you may find that this problem, whilst it is starting over a long time, the police plans are normally not there because why is it that it is not implemented? That's why I'm just requesting that we give them a little bit of time, you know, because 1 month may be very, what you call, a month could be very tight.
But the chairperson, they can come back to us and say and ask for another month.
Now we want them to hear one another. Maybe we're talking past one another. I'm saying the recommendation is fine with me. I support it. But all that I'm saying that we should write is a recommendation that we think that will be implementable. Because if they come back to us, it means that it's not implementable within a month. That's why I'm saying let's just give them a little bit of time so that we are able to say to them, look, we gave you this time and without that time of implementable. Comrade, what you call Snell is right to say it's just a plan. But these plans are not there.
The term implementable.
You're complicating.
No, I think that we will not even realize that the 2 months is over, actually. Mm-hmm. And the 2 months will be over. So I don't think that we're splitting here on fundamental issue, because 2 months is quick. It's going to go very, very quick, and we're going to be very busy even before even realizing that 2 months, it will be 6 months.
Yeah.
So I really just want to say, colleagues, are you coming that I'm 3 months here? But the crisis will work me.
Another
stop.
No. Chair, I would buy 60 days, but we also as a committee must have a tracking system that we wanted response from that day. I mean, that's aside from the recommendations. We're just as responsible as we expect them to be responsible. But 60 days would be quite most ideal.
No, Chair, I just want to maybe assist. With regard to this recommendation, honorable members, we'll remember that this is not a new issue. This issue has been dealt with also in the Portfolio Committee on Transport. The department came to address the Portfolio Committee with regard to this particular issue. I would assume that the information is available. The solution is there. It's just a matter of tabling it to the committee or to parliament. That's all. So it wouldn't be taking, too long or two months or something. I think that's the premise that we're moving from, you know, with this particular time frame that we gave. But it has been dealt with somewhere else, so that we as a committee did not have that liberty to get that information. Thanks, Chair.
You are a non-voting member of this committee. Now let's just accept that members have accepted that. Let's just give them 2 months, you know, because that's for, let's just give them 2 months. I think Honorable Ramatlan is correct that 2 months, we think that is a long time. It's not that long in government, you know.
within no time it will be over. And it means that I think Honorable Mwabo has well said it, that these are the tracking system. Because if you give them 2 months, it means that within these 2 months you must be able to say to them, to write to them and say, remember, the recommendation of the resolution of the House is that in 2 months' time you do it, we would expect you on a particular day to come here to us about this thing. I think you're quite right. Okay, thanks. Shall we go to 6.5? Sorry?
Can I ask on 6.1? Do we want individual department to submit this turnaround strategy, or do we want the Treasury to be able to give us the consolidated turnaround strategy with regard to those, or do we want individual department? I thought it would be better if you tied the Treasury, because in any case, in terms of the PMFA, they go to Treasury, and Treasury is the one that says yes or no. So based on that, you know, or that yes, they must then give us a consolidated plan rather than individual department.
I think you're right. That's what we, as a day, that was a request the other day, that we must tie one department, National Treasury, to say to them, this turnaround plan must be within National Treasury. All government departments that requested rollovers from National Treasury should prepare and submit a turnaround plan.
Yeah. And you can just make it, Chair, sorry. National Treasury should prepare and submit a turnaround plan for all government departments that requested rollovers.
Yeah, can you say that again? For all the departments?
Yes, and restart the sentence with the capital National there. The National Treasury should prepare and submit a turnaround plan for all government departments that requested rollovers. And submit a turnaround plan.
You know, I would like an addition, you know, that says, you know, this turnaround plan, I mean, which would make it not just an easy thing for this is it a rollover that we're talking about? We're not talking about environment, right? Mr. Treasurer should prepare and submit a turnaround plan for all departments that require rollovers, you said, no?
Yes.
That request rollovers. It's fine, you can put it, but I can assure you who will get engagement. Maybe it will be fine, so that... because...
Can we just distinguish to request and approval? Remember, Treasury, there's lots of requests that goes to them. And they don't necessarily approve all of them. So they give the approval and they turn down. So when is it turned down, there's no need, because there's no rollover. Therefore, there's no need for turnaround strategy. So I think we should just be specific about those that have got a turnaround that have been approved too.
I think the same argument was raised, but the question was who approved rollovers? Is it National Treasurer or is it Parliament? But I think something that this committee can engage on. And secondly, I'm not sure is it read about the intention of the turnaround plan. Whether would it be to minimize is it the trend of rolling overs by all the national government departments, or the committee would only work to focus on those that have been narrated in this report? Because I think the rolling over of funds on its own, it has some consequences in terms of the cost escalation of the project. So I think if it was according to me, it would just address this norm of rolling over of funds rather than to specifically look on those departments that are quoted in this report. Because I think the intention is just to minimize the level in which rollovers are being requested by government departments generally.
You just want us to add because there are implications for cost escalation.
No, I think that you, I'm sure members would not want to go into that debate again because clearly we have discussed it over and over. It's clear that we are unhappy. Now, I think that members are saying it's fine. National Treasury has got in terms of legislation this right, but it must not just be a blanket, what you call an approval. I think there are two steps in terms of the law. Section 43 is for environment, right? Which one is for rollovers? But not in the what they call in the act. Okay, we'll check in the act. But I think that if you see the other challenge now, I'm just thinking loudly, Honorable Swart. The other challenge is that if legislation does not provide for rollover, then there would be a problem if regulations provide for something that legislation does not provide for, because the duty of the regulation is to clarify the implementation of the what they call it, of legislation. It's not supposed to be original. I'm not saying that it is not contained in the legislation, but all we need to do is just to check it. You want to come back? Okay. So, well, I think that we agree with Honorable Ramatsakana's amendment that on those approvals, including CSWS, that about because of the implications of cost escalation if the project is not implemented at the time it was intended to. Good. National Treasury will come back to you. It's good about National Treasury. It will come back and engage you on these matters. But we're not saying that they must not approve rollovers, but we're saying I think that Honorable Ramatsakana, you started it. I think that another question maybe that you didn't put to us is this a desirable, what you call a recommendation, because of there is violence on the other hand, there is rollovers on the other hand, and we had a discussion with them, and I think that we agreed that we can't stop both environments and rollovers. But Treasury regulations, they say that these rollovers must not be, should only be approved to one. I mean, departments can't approve, can't do rollovers over one project twice or more than once. But they do it anyway. And that's what Treasury approves. Caesar says, is that the duty of where does Parliament come in at that stage? It's a question.
So you can't necessarily altogether do away with the rollover. It's impossible because of the nature of government.
Yeah.
So I think it's the one reality that we probably have to accept. But then we have to put safety valve to manage it downwards so that it's not used as a floodgate. So I think that if the issue of rollover, there is in the PMSA conditions stipulated what informed the rollover. For an example, it's a continuous capital project that is running, and therefore it has started out like the dam.
outside of the stipulated time, but the dam is not going to be completed over a period of a cycle of 2 years, maybe it's 4 years. So you're going to find that it's going to be a need for all over with the money that is committed, because you're committing a contract over a period. And therefore, the expenditure and lack of past expenditure will necessitate the rollover. So I don't think you will necessarily completely do away with rollover. Chair, that was the just by the way, comment. But can I come back to the document?
Okay. So we're passing
One. Now, I think that Honorable Matlakane, when we pass one, we're not saying, we are accepting that there will be vehemence, there will be rollovers. But I think that what Parliament is trying to do is to tighten the screw so that the budget that is presented to Parliament must be credible, what you call a budget. You know, I think that's the issue that we're trying to say. But if there's no other comment, Honorable
Soft. No, just in general, you know, that we found, for instance, at the Whip Dam, they rolled that money over for I don't know how many years because they ring fenced. They said, you know, well, we've got this money, so you can't take it away from us. It's there for the dam. You know, my question is just, if there are rollovers, are we not infringing on the fiscal framework, number one, and also should it not be approved by this committee rather than Treasury?
I think there are two issues that are associated with this. There's requirements within the department, there's rollovers. And these rollovers, you remember the other day we had discussion with the department. Department was saying to us, what is it that you want us to do? Do you want a report quarterly on the environment? We're talking environment. But for all of us, at the end of the once a year in October for adjustment, I think that's when we also Parliament passes rollovers once a year. And the rollovers, of course, are done only once a year, are applied for only once a year. But environments, they are done from time to time. There's a difference. And that's where they were saying, so what role do we want? And I think that as a committee, we mustn't make a recommendation where we have not yet applied our minds properly. If we want to have a role to play for environment, we must just ourselves, engage ourselves, be sure that we do want to have a role there to play. But not before we apply our minds properly and say, what do we want to do with the environment? Because we don't want to constrain, to micromanage departments as well. We would not want to do that. We'd like to give them room to manage. But we all that we're concerned about is the credibility of the budget that we pass as Parliament. Is it credible or should we not pass it? Because anyway, in fact, what they're not saying, that budget only passed end of June. What they're not telling us is that by that end of June, they've already done those requirements, but they're not telling us. You will only get at the end of the first quarterly report after June. That anyway, we have shifted funds from there to there. I think it's a question that we'll continue to engage with. Honorable Tata, you want to respond to Honorable Harold Block?
I just want to emphasize. For me, I would say for now, let us leave National Treasury to be the one, as we have said, it should be the one that is going to approve. Because for me, as an appropriation committee, I think in that way, as we said, this is a way of trying to control or to control. And I think, again, for us, it is going to be a tracking system whereby even after the appropriation on the rollover, we'll actually be able to see that on this year, on this period, you were given a rollover of so much and have you used it up to so far. So I think we should leave it at that and leave all this other putting in, whether the committee or I think as it is, it is fine.
Okay. No, it's fine. Thank you, Honorable Clark. But I think that I'm not sure if we'll come back and just tighten this, clean up this recommendation. I'm just looking at recommendation number two as well. Should all government departments should play a leading role in the fight against unemployment by filling vacancies. I think that the message is right about the filling of vacancies, that maybe we can put it nicely about that. But let's just deal for now with those recommendations that have been added.
Before we go to 6.5, remember last week I did indicate that I had to make a comment on the 7.1 is changed now to 6.2 now. The idea document was 7.2. I just think that recommendation can be reformulated differently because it deals with the two issues in a strange way. It links two issues in one. It links the unemployment and it links the issue of vacancies together. And it makes it one issue. In my reading of it, I thought the 6.2 should make a straight point about the issue of unemployment, deal with unemployment, and just simply say all the government department should implement government policy, including incentive scheme to reduce high employment rate. That's what you are communicating. So number two, then you say that the department should fill all vacancies in order to improve the service delivery program of government. So you're talking about filling a vacancy, and you're talking about unemployment and incentive scheme and the implementation of that. So you separate the two sentences, because here there are two sentences that are written in one. So that was going to be my suggestion on that.
In fact, that's why I say that it's clear that we'll have to come back and clean out these recommendations. But I don't know if Susan's got it. Sinclair didn't get you on the first sentence. But Ned, what we could do, honorable members, we have 6.2.1 and 6.2.2, so that we can deal with this. But in terms of vacancies, I think that the vacancies that we should talk about, because, I mean, as this committee are aware, that there are also challenges of savings and whatnot. Maybe we should talk about critical vacancies, where the what to call just include the word critical vacancies, because in many of the reports that we read, we found that certain things could not be done because there's no personnel to do that. In the name of, departments have committed themselves to save. But I don't know if you say, I'm not going to buy a jacket so that I can save, and you expose yourself to all kinds of what you call things because you're trying to save. Saving is not about that. I think saving should be really where you can do without a thing. That's why I'm saying
if we accept the proposal that Honorable Ramatlakane is coming about, but we should talk about these critical vacancies that need to be filled so that we don't constrain the work of departments. Honorable Mashiko.
I don't know whether we are going back to item 6.2, because if we look at it combined as it is, in each and every recommendation we've made in our reports, it has been there. We can rather say we improve 6.3, so that it stresses, because we talk about mechanisms, it stresses what we've been talking about vacancies, because each and every report of ours complains about vacancies and unemployment. So if we add on it, it's going to be two recommendations out of this one, where is number three is actually asking for mechanisms which will include what we've been complaining about and was all along ignored in our recommendations. Thank you, Chairperson. If we could re-look at number three and strongly say something that will really make us do thorough follow-ups and force the departments to include these things when they respond to what we want. Thank you, Chair.
So you're raising an important point, but before I come to this point, you know, in number two, I think Omar Ramatlakane says there are two issues that are raised by that recommendation.
Yeah.
So all I think that is trying to do is so let's disaggregate them. If we want to mention unemployment, the role of government to... if we want departments to play a role in job creation, let's just put it there, clear, would be clear. Then if we want to deal with vacancies, put them separate so that they can make sense, because if you conflate them, now they don't seem to make sense. I think that I understood it that way, that we break up that those two things. But that's why I suggested that let's have 2.1 and 2.2, 6.1.2 and 6.2.2. But you know
before we continue to 3. Honorable Thank you, sir. Chair. For me, I think this 6.2, the way it is constructed, it's fine. I don't see where is the confusion, because it actually leads on a, it only talks about playing a role, a leading role in filling vacancies, which have actually been a complaint all through our meetings and observations. Yeah. So for me, when I take this question into context, it says all government departments must actually improve their systems as far as filling of vacancies are concerned. And for me, I would say rather than say critical vacancies, because I understand with our observations, which is actually the fact, we have realized that the executive vacancies are the ones that have got problems. That is the DG, the upward. So we should actually say rather than critical, with your permission, Chair, say executive vacancies, because the executive will actually be referring to this uppermost senior. So now I think we should meet. Like when Comrade Ramatlakane spoke about, I don't know, he spoke about something like incentives. I didn't know what he was referring to. Totally for me, he was coming up with something new. I actually wanted to understand now what are the incentives. So I think we should leave it as it is and not make it to be ambiguous. For me, as it is, it's straightforward. It's really understood what is it that we want to achieve.
work very easy, because my job, I had said that let's deal with the what you call it, underlined sentence, the new one.
Now they're getting back to all the other stuff.
But it's clear that we're paying attention to some of the what you call it. There's nothing wrong with that. I thought that would deal with this new one and go back to the old one that we have written, see if we have written them properly. But members are preferring that let's deal with them now, once and for all. It's fine with me if we want to do that. Honorable Mahlangana, I see your hand is up.
I promise you, I do want us to finish this report. We have been dealing with it for a long time. You see, I'm easy. We can deal with the underline and then come back to 6.2. Because, as I understand the same paragraph as it stands now, it says all the departments, all government departments, should play a leading role in the fighting unemployment by filling vacancies as a matter of urgency. Now, filling a vacancy does not equal fighting poverty, in my view. It's a management appointment. What you need to do, you must do more than filling a vacancy in order to address the issue of unemployment. That's the program that you have to put in place. The implementation of policy, that's what you need to do in order to address this issue of unemployment. The whole thing about incentive scheme, the incentive scheme referred to poverty, I mean public works work, in all kind of things that you have to put in place. So that's why I was saying that sentence should communicate those two things separately that you want to communicate. One is unemployment, reducing the unemployment through government program, and then the second one is appointment filling of vacancies. Now you added a rider that says critical vacancies. So I think if we write it in that way, it's to improve service delivery. That's what I was saying is my amended sentence. As it stands, Chair, it does not communicate that message. It doesn't communicate that message. It's shorthand. It is just right. It does read better. It communicates more clearly what we want to achieve with it as a recommendation of the committee. And I do want us to finish this. I don't want to drag the meeting unnecessarily. It's just a way of writing this, and take it like that, Chair.
I've noted, Honorable, but just before you come in, I want to clarify something with Honorable Ramatagana so that you can also respond to it. Honorable Ramatagana, you see now, with I think that Honorable Clarke did not say it. I think the other thing that Honorable Clarke did not say was to say we should have asked the authors of this what is the meaning of this sentence. Now, we didn't do that. And in doing that now on my own, it means that when they say the government should play a role in the fight against unemployment, the other way they are saying government should contribute to reducing unemployment, that you say you don't see it, by not allowing itself to continue to have vacancies, when on the other hand we're saying there is unemployment, we should fill those critical, what you call the posts, the vacancies that are within government. I'm saying that is their own interpretation. Now you have your interpretation is saying we're dealing with two things here, no? Because to me the it's clear that I think there are two levels of unemployment that are being that we're talking about here. Is the role of government? Is government within itself? Let's get that first sentence first, Honorable Ramatagana. The sentence that you and CISO are having there around unemployment.
I think, sir, it reads as follows. All government departments should implement government policy, including incentive grant to reduce unemployment. It was constructed in that particular fashion.
Yeah, I ban your corner lap. Honorable move.
Chairperson, you've just touched it on the nerve. I am asking from the authors of this particular, not recommendation, but the sentence, what was the thinking behind it? And I'm also saying, as a committee, we are concerned that vacancies are not being filled. That's the gist. Vacancies are not filled in the government department. Hence, you know, we keep getting this, because vacancies are not being filled. Maybe the issue of unemployment, we can find space for it somewhere, because we haven't spoken about it, but we've been speaking, and departments have been speaking about low vacancy rate. Thank you. But maybe if the authors give us some clarity so that we are on the same wavelength, it might help. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I think I want to allow with, I have to concur with the Mango over there. And let's leave this unemployment aside, because really, late night was rather, it was really confusing me that what is unemployment now? What about the other thing? So let us put it as filling of vacancies, because that has been a challenge that we have been facing. And apart from there, I still say this sentence is quite clear. If the sentence says all government departments should play a leading role in the fight against, I don't think it would be necessary for us to actually say by implementing policy. Obviously, if a government department has got to lead a role in doing something, it is going to do that within the legal framework. It is going to do that within the regulation and policy of the government. It won't come with its own thing. So I'm saying this, let us remove unemployment and let the issue be filling of vacancies. But as for the grants, I don't see where the grants come in yet, unless we don't know where we are, what we are actually looking at. Our problem here is filling of vacancies, which at the end of the day, is filling of vacancies, which can even, we have seen through our observation, which are actually said, that at the end, we have rollovers, we have them, and we have what, because of this very reason of executive vacancies or critical vacancies, we see not fair. So for me, I would say, let's do away with unemployment, let's do away with the grant, and leave the sentence as it is, because it now gives a meaning as to what is it that we want to achieve. And based on our achievement, what is it that we want to achieve, based on of the observation, based on the observation and the research that we have done as an appropriation committee upon our going out, our oversight, it's a fact. So I think we should not tie it with other things. It's filling of vacancies. Even the Auditor General is talking about filling of vacancies. So let's leave a grant aside.
I think that I'm persuaded by Honorable by this argument Honorable Klager comes with, that the intention, maybe the one, I think that there's an agreement that the way the sentence is formulated, it lends us to all kinds of interpretations. But if the sentence, I would like you, Susan, to comment. But the sentence, in our understanding, as Honorable Ngobo said, that maybe you should explain it. The sentence, I think that, as Honorable Clark is saying, is meant to say to government, they must fill in those that they are not able to come here and say they have not done this because of they don't have personnel to, they have not filled the vacancies there. I think that if we're saying that, let's formulate this sentence to what you call it, to note the honorable source. Let's formulate the sentence to deal with that. Because I think Honorable Slaga is right. If we have not discussed this matter of the unemployment in the bodies and then comes up with it in the recommendation, I think that it may, what you call, kind of mislead people because it has not been part of the body of the report. I think the issue that is really being said, let's reformulate this sentence to reflect what has been discussed here, that this department says they have not done this because of a shortage of personnel, they have not done that. I think that is the issue that we were saying. But without what we're calling, including the word unemployment, as it lends ourselves to all kinds of interpretations. Congressman, can I switch off here? Before you come in, can I allow Honorable Swart?
I agree that I would suggest that we just say that all government departments attend to the filling of critical vacancies as a matter of urgency, full stop.
I'm saying earlier,
we can add
you had spoken about service delivery, you know.
So as to improve service delivery.
So as to improve service delivery. Sizwe and Edeland, do you want to comment on this now?
No, sir, I don't think that is needed, but I think it's now understood as being put by Mr. Sir. Because I think that sentence was responding really to finding 5.4. You see, if you check there, you would have in plus minus 40% of the government departments not spending on their budget, you see, due to the problems of vacancies. I think that's 16 in total. And it was also informed by the fact that government is the largest employer in the country and obviously can continue to do so if they can fill those particular vacancies in terms of trying to fight or maybe to reduce unemployment because I think the number of vacancies that are there. So it was mainly a rather further context.
I think that what is being said here, I think I understand. I was persuaded by the point, but I think that is correct. But if we're talking unemployment generally, it's something that we have not discussed in the body of the report. So we can't come with it now in the recommendation. I think that's what they are saying, and I think I agree with that. I see Honorable Ramatagan is not happy. The smile is what he's saying. But if we're dealing with the filling of vacancies, because what you're reading is about the filling of vacancies. And unemployment, it means much, much more than those filling of vacancies. That's why we're saying let's omit the word unemployment. Deal with the, what you call it, the way the sentence has been proposed so that it conveys the message that we want to convey, actually. Honorable Matagan, thank you very much.
No,
let me just intimidate you. You said that you wanted us to come to finish this report today.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I want to say, Chair, if we take, I will agree if we specifically communicate one message.
Yeah.
I did say initially that we are communicating two messages in that sentence. So I'm happy to agree with the amended version.
And also, Chair, to remind ourselves that first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, even this report, were saying the same thing. Actually, I think we need to be stronger here. Because because we've been saying vacancy, vacancy, vacancy in all the four quarters, and I'm sure even with the first quarter, we'll be saying the same thing. Now something even stronger or more aggressive has to happen.
Yeah, I think that now you're right.
You're quite right. We must... thank you. My brother, I think you're quite right. I think we've been discussing the issue of these recommendations that don't happen. That's why we're going to come to the point that Honorable Mashego is raising about 6.3. We're going to come to it, and I think that's what you also raised to it. But Honorable Mashego, I think now we're done with 6.2. To 6.3 should establish relevant system with a view to ensuring report back mechanisms in relation to committee recommendations in order to address the spending gaps identified during the scrutiny of the quarterly reports. If this recommendation, these recommendations are intended to the water class, to the department, and this is a point that we are identifying, as you have honorable Mapoloba has said, as you have said. Is this a recommendation, or should it come to a conclusion to say to Parliament, because it does not exclude us in terms of tracking now for our, I mean, it's also we have a part. We can't just blame other people that, I mean, we discuss this all the time, this tracking system, we discuss it. So, I mean, the question is it really a recommendation that we should be including here? Or maybe take it to the Honorable Marshall, I would want you as well to what you call, or take it as part of the conclusion, perhaps, that something needs to be done. Because now I really want to understand that the question that is being raised. But should it include it as a recommendation? Or perhaps it comes to the conclusion, or we find a way, another way of dealing with it. Honorable Snell?
Chair, Administrator, you see, after our meeting last week, I went to the rules of the NA joint rules. I couldn't find them. But all it says about recommendations of the House is that recommendations of the House affecting the Executive Committee must be forwarded to the Office of the President of the Republic of South Africa by the Secretary of Parliament. Full stop. So, we can make these recommendations that are right, and I think I tend to agree with you, Chair, that we need to ask the Whip to deal with the Whippery in this regard to these recommendations, because, you see, the rules before, there was no appropriations committee that had a proactive approach to dealing with things. Now, we've got a responsibility that is proactive, but the recommendations that are being forwarded, as we've noted, are being ignored to a large extent. So, I think we need to be able to relook at how the actual system is working. We're not going to be able to come to that conclusion today, clearly not, but we need to be able to start putting mechanisms in place where we start interrogating what is the intent of the legislation and what effect does the rules give to what we're supposed to be doing in that legislation, and how then do we use recommendations of the House to achieve that outside of the prescripts of the Act. I just wanted to put that on the I think we can leave it there, Chair, after that.
Can I just make then, it's not a ruling really, but a suggestion that let's remove 6.3 as is suggested, so that we, when we have done all the other recommendations, we will revisit it, what needs to be done. Because I think that maybe as this committee, it's either we invite the... last time we spoke about our legal, what you call, section, to discuss about these matters, and maybe finally those people who represent the leader of government.
government business to discuss with them what happens to recommendations. How, as members, do we ensure as parliament, especially this this part of this subcommittee of parliament, we really monitor the implementation and we're not happy. Can we just accept that and then go to the next page, final 50, page 50? Ana Rosa.
I would just like to add to that sentence, Chair. The following wording is with disputes with landowners, and then add the words rather than reverting to court and or legal action. Urgently seek alternative means to settle disputes with landowners rather than reverting to court and or legal action.
Because that was our problem.
Again, I think that we're going back to the issue of rollovers. That there might be what you call a situation where the car is unavoidable. Should we perhaps say they should seek to, they should endeavor to reduce the Department of Rural Development and Land Affairs and Land Reform should.
What I had before this was changed, I had in the previous one, I said the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform should endeavor to settle disputes with landowners without reverting to court action.
Gives room that there might be situations where it's not unavoidable, but they should endeavor to settle them outside what you call a court. Agreed? Okay. 6.6, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform should, one, disclose the amount of money that was budgeted for potential legal costs. For potential legal costs for 2009-2010 financial year. Two, submit a detailed report listing all litigation matters brought against it and attach costs of such matters to Parliament within 3 months after the adoption of this report by the House.
Jefferson, I was thinking, will that not be in the annual report? That's a question. Will that stats not be in the annual report? Legal cost. I'm just thinking about scope of my. But I have no problem with this. I'm just asking if that is not not will be in the annual report. And the annual report is now the end of the month, end of September. But I can live with it.
I think that in principle there's nothing wrong with demanding that the Department of Land Affairs must declare. Because I mean, it can't be. In other words, what the recommendation is saying, they must tell Parliament. If it's in the report, they will refer, they will make reference to that annual report. I think that's what this recommendation is saying. But if the thing that we, I think it comes from the fact that when we're discussing with them, we're saying, in your budget program, they've got programs then. Now, it is not clear if there's a program for dealing with legal costs, with litigation. That's why then there's this report that, please, let us understand, make us understand what is your budget for legal costs? Honorable Mata? Oh, you don't have your hand up. Cesar, you want to explain?
Yes, Chair. I think, Chair, that you're correct. That recommendation was informed by the fact that there was suspicion, say, from committee side, that the legal cost might be that those are the funds that were taken from the programs that were supposed to be implemented to improve service delivery. And I think during the deliberations, this question was asked as to how much to budget for legal costs, and then it was not provided. The department said they would like to go back to their costs. So I think it was crafted around that particular, you see, understanding. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah,
thanks. I agree with it. Now, what they were saying as well is that those, we can use the figure for that 4,000. That is also supposed to be based on court orders, those deals on signed offer and acceptances by the junior officials. Now, I mean, we throw around this figure of 70 billion. Yeah, but then there's also for the 4,000 other, what does that come to, you know? I mean, that can wipe out their budget for 5 years coming, you know? Yeah, so to me, we have to be, the legal costs, actual litigation costs, and the cost now. You see, if the courts enforce that, and that money is not there, then what do you do as well? I mean, does that then affect the whole fiscus? I don't know what would actually happen there. So I think we need to be able to separate that and to try to get some idea from them to what properties are those, what extent, what kind of money is going to be set. And you know, I don't know if it's going to be working on court orders, how they actually think they're going to be able to get out of paying that money. And you see, the other thing that happens to that, I mean, legally those things can drag on for a very long time. And what you've then done, you bought a farm that was productive, let's hope, okay? And it takes 3 years to settle the matter. That farmer hasn't done anything in 3 years, and you take over a farm that's in disarray.
Thank you. I'm just fighting with the researcher about something. Because the researcher is complaining that there's no break in this committee, so there's no natural break.
I agree with all of still, but you know, first of all, in 661, I feel that we may delete the word potential. So we'll budget for legal costs for 2009-2010, not potential, you know, that's just legal costs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I would like to see maybe at 6.6.3, where in 6 months' time they must report to us on the expected cost of signed agreements where they don't know yet what they, you know, what they're going to spend. I'm talking about the 70 billion. In other words, where agreements were signed, but no payment has been, because those are all going to end up in court as well. Right. And remember, they said they're going to investigate, and they will let us know, I think by January, or they said before the end of the year, in fact. And then later they changed to say January. But I think we should make sure that we get that information.
In other words, and what I'm just trying to think is the actual article implementation of this recommendation. You say 6.3 should, we should recommend that in 6 months' time.
That gives them more than enough time.
6 months' time will be, when we do adjustments, it will be half year that time. It's not. I don't understand you to mean 6 months from today, but 6 months from the beginning of the financial year. Is that what you mean?
6 months from now, Chief.
You see, they've committed the government. Sorry. These people have committed government to purchasing farms. We expect something in the region of 70 billion. It might be wrong. It might be 60 billion. It might be 90 billion. We don't know. But they told us. Yeah. But they came back to us and they said they will investigate and they will come up with a figure towards the end of the year as to what the outstanding claims might be. But I just feel that we should put in the recommendations here that we want that, because otherwise it will be disappearing in the wash somewhere and nobody will know what it's all about.
I don't know what other people think, because the outstanding ones are not necessarily budgeted for. But I do understand that our approach is we're trying to protect even future, what we call the budget, that it should not balloon or something like that. But maybe something that we need to think carefully about. That, it's not there now. It's not there. It's difficult to make them account on a number of times that day we said on this outstanding things, as Honorable Swart is saying, on your outstanding claims, which is about 4,000, how much roughly is your rough budget? They didn't want to disclose it, or they said, they told us straight that, look, we have not quantified it.
But that's what we want that quantified.
I hear now the situation, but you know we are here for two things: overspending of budgets and underspending of budgets. That's how I see it. I'm just thinking we can put that request, but how accurate will that request be? Because I'm just battling in my own mind now. So are we still in our mandate?
Yes, it was been.
Yeah, no, I think that also noted for Honorable, I think we are within
our mandate to want to know, ne? So that we all want to protect is fiscus. But the question that we put to them was that. I mean, the way I saw it, I wasn't sure that they really don't know, more than they want that when they come to the next budget, we should not know now, until they request a budget for the next round, that this is what they think. I mean, I found myself in that situation. I didn't think that they really, really don't know. They truly don't know. Because there are figures that are thrown around, you know. But the thing is the implementability of this recommendation that we're asking for. That's all that I'm saying. I'm not saying that we're out of the mandate, but again, we're talking about the tracking mechanisms and what. Is it implementable? Is it something that we should really demand it now? Or I'm not sure. That's the question that I'm asking myself.
Thank you, Chair. When we look at this recommendation, it actually says we want them to disclose the amount that has been budgeted for, right? In that financial year 2009-2010. Now, FCTT, I'm asking myself, why should we ask for this information? Why should we ask them to disclose? Because every year the Minister of the Budget will make a budget speech and actually make us aware how the money has been distributed. And I want to agree more with Comrade Johan that whatever we do, we should do it within our legal and legal mandate. Ours is to monitor underspending and what? Okay, underspending and what?
Overspending.
And overspending. Mm. So for me, really, to actually ask, I find myself like, you are a member of parliament. You ask us for money, you ask a department or for a budgeted amount. You really tell us you don't know when the Minister of Finance is actually making this available to the public, unless we are looking for something else that we don't know, we don't understand. But legally, this is beyond our mandate, and it's always generally provided by the minister in the house there, where all parliamentarians sit. So I really don't know. What do we mean specifically by saying we disclose the money?
I think that Honorable Tlhage, sorry
to confuse you. I think that we have agreed with 6.6.1 because we were in a meeting with them where they said that part of the money, they didn't know how much was it or would not disclose it, is used for legal costs. We are agreeing with that, 6.2. But the point that we are now worried about is that the report says there are 4,000 outstanding claims. Now, what we are saying is that in that 4,000, they couldn't tell us. We said, how much is this 4,000? How much would it cost the state? They didn't know at the time. Honorable Swar is proposing that we say to them in 6 months' time, we think that you would be ready with information.
1 to 5.
Tell us. How much would it cost? Now, I think that the issue that we are saying with is that do we really, should we put in that as a recommendation or find a way with dealing with it? How do we deal with that? Okay, you'll come back. Honorable Mathagan, Honorable Mabo.
No, Chair. On the first question, I think it is within the mandate of the committee in terms of the appropriation, because that is a spendable item, that's money. So we have the right, but the issue is the mechanism. Which mechanism do we use? Do we use a mechanism of the report, or do we use a further mechanism of interrogation of the committee face-to-face? So probably because they have not given us a satisfactory answer to this question, we may decide that maybe it's premature to write it in a report, but this is a further question that the department must still come and answer to the committee. In that way, we then delve deeper in the subject with them. Because, you see, there is an item in the budget that may be called professional and consultancy fee, as broad as that. It will be money in there that they will use for something like this, but which may be a figure that is not necessarily broken down into legal costs, that and that. So I think that maybe the best option that I want to maybe suggest, have and listen, and it's not for my long talk that we're delaying now, because it's already 12 o'clock. It's not me. I have not spoken for a long time. I suggest that maybe not put this as a recommendation, but we put as a further question to the department that we want to interrogate them more face-to-face around this particular subject itself. But the implication of that is got an implication, I think, with the 5.4 in the report. 5.4 in the report dealt with the findings, I think. So some findings about implication to budget and then the rest and so on. So I think or maybe we can modify it so that it's not as detailed as it here. Otherwise, we're going to have to deal with the 5.4 as well as this recommendation, because they work, it's a brother and a sister, if I look at them. So that would be my comment here on that. That maybe, let's think again. Let's not think with our blood, the heat in our blood. Let's say maybe there is a, was 5.10, yeah. 5.10, that we may have to come back and engage the department a little bit more. You'd remember that there was a member who also said that in the committee, in the portfolio committee, that they were interacting with the department on this very same subject. And the department has disclosed certain amount of money, which they did not disclose in the committee. You remember there was an intervention from a lady who was sitting somewhere there. Yes. So I do think maybe, Chair, let's gather more information. Anyway, there is going to be first quarter coming. We want to deal with this department again. So I think that we're not losing any much. We will rather gain more knowledge rather than to rush.
Thank you.
You're supporting Honorable Makolo?
I don't know whether I'm supporting or not. But last year, the short meeting we had with them, we had exactly the same experience. This time, we're meeting with them, we're having the same experience. I personally would agree with Honorable Swart that we put it as a recommendation now, because this is one department which we need to work our energies as much as we can, because it acts exactly like public works. So there's a problem in this department, and we need to do more and more probing, because soon it will be going to scope.
Honorable Sager, I would like to make a...
I want to agree with Comrade Marek Velma's class plan. We don't put it now in the report.
We must have discussed very close to track
here. Hey, Ramatlaka. I should do Ramatlaka.
To note that the figures used in this report had not been audited. They are reported figures as provided by departments and national treasurer in line with Section 32 of the Public Finance Management Act, Act 1 of 1999. Most of the issues that transpire from this report are issues that were experienced by departments throughout the financial year. Even though recommendations were made by the committee to remedy the gaps identified during the monitoring of quarterly budget reports review, budget reviews,
these issues are still recurring. The committee will engage National Treasury with a view to establishing the extent to which recommendations of the committee are taken up during it. You see, that's why then I said maybe it would take out 6.3. It's still coming out. But I think that we said no. So it's not really National Treasury. Maybe we will say, why don't we say a parliament here should engage the leader of government business office with a view to establishing the extent to which recommendations of the committee are taken up during its engagement with sector departments. Or the leader of government business will also be engaged in an effort to ensure that the implementation of and accountability on the committee's recommendations are enhanced. I'm not sure. There are two issues that are raised. Engaging National Treasury, I thought that it was a mistake, and engaging the leader of government business. The route that Parliament does is engaging the leader of government business. But as a committee, I mean, the issue that we should ask ourselves when we write this conclusion is does National Treasury have the powers to change what we want to engage them on? I mean, if you look at the legislation, I think it's outside their jurisdiction. They don't have authority over the other departments. The leader of government business is the institution that has what you call a capacity to deal with this. Maybe we can rephrase it. Yeah, even though recommendations were made. Any comments? Cover it quick.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think most of the issues that transpired, the first and second sentences to me are not as effective as from even though the recommendations were made by the committee to remedy the gaps identified during the monitoring of quarterly budget reviews. These issues are still recurring. And then because the first one, we deal with what we have approved, the first sentence, and then most of the issues that transpire from this report are issues that were experienced by the department during the financial year. This is their problem. We don't care about this. This is what they'll explain to us every time they come here, what their problems were. They are the ones who know, but we know that they are not spending the money. And then from even though that's what we've been suffering from right through, that we put recommendations, and nothing happens about them. I'll recommend it from there. I don't know whether other refinements will be there, but the first paragraph and the second paragraph to me, first sentence and the second sentence to me, even if they are not said to me, they won't make any difference. I'll be very much happy to get from the first one, even though.
Just 2 points, Chair. Second last sentence on that recommendation. I thought we could actually delete that sentence. We could delete it out of the conclusion. Why should we report that we will engage with the Treasury to find the extent or understand the extent of this issue? Because that's a norm, that's a normal, that's a course of our duty that we do that. So why should we make it this major issue? I think that is a superfluous sentence in my view. Because that one is talking about us, what we are going to do. So we must do it. We are doing it anyway, irrespective of whether we are writing it here in the report. The second thing, comment I want to make is whether the last sentence, you shouldn't cast it differently. Just quickly, just to say that the more or less you stay to what it is, but you require some, you build into it mechanism of action from the leader of government business with regard to the recommendation. So basically you say that the office of the leader of government business should engage with the department, with ministers basically, in an effort to ensure that the implementation of the recommendations are receiving attention. And therefore you can then bring in the issue about a feedback. There must be a feedback mechanism, that accountability issue. Because remember the last time there was an issue that the leader of government business wants to know what is it that committee wants the department to do? What action? So that he can then report on action, not just generality. So my suggestion, Chair, would be that you commit him that he should engage with those ministers based on the recommendation and of course with the feedback that has to be commensurate to the actions. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Comrade Ramatlana. Comrade Whip.
Thank you, Chairperson. I see the second sentence differently from Honorable Ramatlakane, because we do communicate with National Treasury, but when it comes to the issues of rollovers and others, I think they must know that we totally don't agree with them. That's why I think maybe we should be keeping it, because we'll be referring to them to the extent to which they take action. Because right now it will be them and the departments agreeing behind us without us getting any proper clarity on what is happening. So I think engagement with sector departments on some issues will still be needed on a different level, even if it means one day we decide to write to Treasury and say we are very much concerned about the department, for an example, health on issue 123 or water on the group dam, where we feel that you don't see any programs but you still babysitting them. Thanks very much.
You know, in the conclusion there are certain recommendations which should really go into recommendations and not as a conclusion. But I just feel that if we want to talk to Treasury and the leader of government business, then we should do so. We don't have to put it into a conclusion. I think we can scrap the whole conclusion paragraph. Thank you.
That's fine, Fiva. I think the recommendation was, I have a problem. We have a shop steward here for the picketing as well. Susan, you can go.
Now, I think we do need the conclusion. So let's start from that. Oh, Comrade, I'm sorry.
Yes. I don't think any one of us around the table disagree that there's a problem with the way recommendations are implemented. But I don't think we're going to be able to find the solution in this conclusion today as how it gets dealt with in future. And so I would suggest that as the committee we put a process in place to be able to investigate it and then to come up with some clear kind of suggestions once that's been done. So I would put in there maybe just up until the end of the second sentence around the figures that we had utilized, and the actual part about the recommendations and how those should work and how they are working. I think we really need to be able to engage on that quite substantively, Chair.
I think that the one, maybe the, I think the conclusion, we do need to have a conclusion, but the issue that you're discussing is what is it that is supposed to be on the conclusion. We had flagged down 6.3, and 6.3 read or still reads, all government departments should establish relevant systems with a view to ensuring report back mechanisms in relation to committee recommendations in order to address the spending gaps identified during scrutiny of quarterly reports. I thought that it would be relevant in the conclusion. But the issues that are raised by honorable members on the conclusion, starting with what Honorable Mashiko raises, that whether the first two sentences needs to be there or not. Can I just finish comment and come back?
Yeah,
okay, thanks. Okay, sure, thanks. No, thanks, comment. Yeah, I think we had this sentence at the beginning somewhere. Ne? Just trying to check where it is, but we had it somewhere. But I think that what should go really to the conclusion is a summary of the whole thing, the action that needs to be taken. Conclusion might not necessarily be this big paragraph. It can be just one sentence that if we put 6.3, we put 6.3, then we put that sentence of the Office of the Leader of Government. There was a suggestion for a reformulation of the sentence. We do that because as a conclusion, we think that this is what is going to help us to do that, so that then the other areas we remove them, because I think that these areas have been covered, but also Honorable Ramatlagane says the committee anyway engages National Treasury every day around this matter. But I think it's not necessarily the, what you call it, the issue, but the issue is that here in the conclusion, we want to give a conclusion that should encompass all the, what you call, the whole house, should be a conclusion that should encompass the whole house. I don't know if it makes sense. You know, I might not be putting it the way I want to put it, but I think that I agree with members that maybe we can remove all the other parts, including the engagement with National Treasury, because National Treasury doesn't have authority over the other departments. It has a certain responsibilities, of course. So that is my suggestion. Honorable Clavis.
Thank you, Chair. When I read I think, Chair, the conclusion should remain, and I think the first words, it is important to know that the figures used in this report had not been audited. I think it is very, very, very critical that we mention this, that this report was not audited in order to make us to safeguard ourselves. It is not audited. We actually show the resource that it actually comes from the information from the department and the National Treasury as referred to section whatever. I think that is very good. And for me, I would suggest that maybe we modify this section by including the first sentence, that one of the note that it was not audited, up to the stage where we say we have Public Finance Management Act, full stop. And then most of the issues that transpire from this report are recommendations made by the committee. And then I think we should end there. And then from there, we leave the remedy the gaps identified during the monthly quarterly review.
Okay.
Ah, well, now you confuse me because you are talking. And I don't know how I'm going to summarize when you are talking, because you won't be heard what I've said. That's where my problem is, as a chairperson, with due respect. Chair, I'm saying. Hey, you wouldn't hear, Chair. I'm saying. There's this issue that refers to this. These issues are still recurring. I think that it is very important to mention that these issues are still recurring. Mm-hmm. But I would like us to activate, maybe to modify it, the way it's written. It's recurring. I could say maybe we despite the recommendation by the committee, it is clear that these issues are still recurring. I want us to keep that point. But from the committee will engage National Treasury. We agree that we leave it out. But that one of the Office of the Leader of the Government and Accountability and Implementation, we leave it.
I don't know what the procedure would be with regard to the report and the conclusion. What is it that Parliament do with the conclusion? What is it anybody is going to do with the conclusion of the report? Is it the recommendation that counts? So if the recommendation is what counts, probably what we want to see as action forward, we should maybe just lift it up into recommendation that this is what we want to see. So if you conclude, let the conclusion be simply a simple sentence that hasn't got things that we want action to be taken as a result of recommendation. So for an example, if we want to further engage with the department or treasury, we could easily lift that to the recommendation that what we want to see going forward, we're going to engage to sort out this thing as an action. So then if that's the case, you can actually shorten the paragraph, this conclusion paragraph, to about five lines. And that point that you want to make, it probably end with the reoccurrence of problem. Because you'll be talking about the act, you'll be talking about the report, the audited figures, what you have engaged, your finding on the engagement that the issues continue to reoccur. Then the Honorable Snell was saying what we need to do in looking forward is to actually look at what is it that we need to do to tighten up on some of the issues that we are not quite sure about. And I seems to buy that that argument as well. So I think we can make it less painful, this conclusion, and take take all the things that we want to use as meat in the recommendation and have clinical conclusion, because in any case, it is not for attention. Nobody's going to do anything about the conclusion. People will busy themselves with the recommendation that we're putting forward.
Colleague, can you switch off? Are we fine? Okay. You see, maybe what we need to do is to say the conclusion really says we're basing our all this work, the findings, the recommendations, we're basing them on this. This is a summary of them. So that maybe this we can leave and thus omit certain things. The omission could be the issue of national treasury. But with the point of recurring, and if, for instance, the departments may come back to us at the point that maybe it's raised here that they have not been audited, I think it's also made to protect ourselves where the department, for instance, can come back with audited figures. Once figures are audited, there might be changes from what we got from the fourth quarter report. But I think the report, if then there's an engagement, you can always go back to the report and say, look, we have a conclusion there. We have acknowledged that the figures that we used are what we got as a fourth quarter report. It was not, we have clearly said that we are aware that they were not what you call it was not a conclusive thing. And therefore, so maybe we should just leave them there, but just remove that sentence, the committee will engage national treasury, and remove that one, and then we'll be done. The second sentence. Issues that transpire on this report. Well, according to the committee. Now, see, we want to put this on the vertical. But, I think that is questioning that maybe the sentence as well, let's say, most of the issues that transpire from this report, most of the issues that are raised from this report are issues that are raised, not transpire. Most of the issues that are raised from this report are issues that were experienced by department throughout the financial year, as we understand them as a committee. Shall we conclude that? Yes, go.
Sorry, Chair, I don't
want. You want to say amen?
I want to say amen in the sky. Why should we say these issues were experienced by the department? Really, is it a fact, or is it just an assumption that these issues were experienced? And us, now we are contradicting ourselves, because sometimes normally say we come here and they don't tell us the truth like they whoop them. So let's leave them. And we don't know whether they experience them or not. Like they come and fabricate the what is not the truth here. We say are not audited. This is not audited. And yes, to have say they experience, we don't know. It's not the fact.
We could, what you call it, then modify that and say most of these issues that are raised from this report are issues that were reported by departments throughout the financial year. Honorable sir.
If you can, I start at the top and say, make the following suggestions. Important to note that the figures used in the report have not been audited. And then say, but our reported figures as provided by the departments and the National Treasury in line with the section, and then stop at after the Public Finance Management Act. And then we say from there on, due to the recurring nature of the problems related to over and under expenditure by the departments, the leaders of government business will be engaged to ensure that the implementation of and accountability on the committee's recommendations are enhanced.
Yeah.
And stop it right there.
Okay.
Do you want to take comments or recommendations?
Mm-hmm. Because
it's fine. Yeah. That's what we are agreeing with.
Yeah.
Okay. So the report says it stands now.
With I think that we have come to the end of this report. Okay, so are we adopting the report today?
Yes, with the amendment.
With the amendment.
Yeah.
You're proposing adoption, Honorable Matala?
Yes, I propose some adoption with amendment.
Okay. Colonel Nashiko, supporting?
I was going to ask someone to support, and I ask where's the third quarter report, but then I'm supporting, and I still ask where's the third quarter report. This is serious. Mm.
No. I might want to call, I might be laughing. I do have the copy of the... We're not done. We can't deal with them concurrently. We have to deal with it after this. I'm just talking about this one that we are at the home. Sorry. No, I was just going to talk about that because I've brought it with me here to say. But we must deal with one thing at a time, that we have adopted it and put it aside. Now go back to the third quarter report and say to the third quarter report with the recommendations that we make. Can we just read them and then at the next meeting we can see if they are valid and we adopt it. Will that be fine, Comrade Pacheco, with you? Because we dealt with it, and then the issue is, the idea was to wait and to make comparisons. Now, what we are recommending is, one, I think the change has not been made, Pelelan, with the, I don't know whether I took the oldest one, but I think there were changes. Remember that we recommended that the third quarter report should still not be an analysis, but it should be a report now of the committee. Né? That is one. But the second thing then is that I'm just asking members to read the recommendation, and we come back tomorrow too. Finalize them tomorrow. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Honorable members, can we be part of the Vatican? Honorable members, so this is the report and this is the recommendation that we are putting then to the committee. I hope that members still do have the third quarter report. But if there are members who do not have the third quarter report, can they just say, can we just see who doesn't have it so that we can make, you no longer have it, the third quarter report?
It's not possible that they can put it in our pigeonhouse before, say, when we 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock this afternoon.
All that I'm saying, comrade, is who doesn't have it? Other people do have it, so that we just don't make all the what you call it because we have the report. Right? You don't have it.
No.
If you don't remember, let's just. Okay, you're right. Let's just make sure that everybody then has a copy so that tomorrow people can will have read it.
Thank
you. Comrade Tad? Okay. Honorable members, this afternoon there is that, there's no sitting, there is that training on the BRR.
E-triple-R. I suspect that as this committee, we're going to
Good Hope Center.
Good Hope Center. And I will be chairing that session. I will depend on you as well, because we haven't had a different, what you call it, training. Though we're dealing with the money bills as this committee, the kind of as the finance cluster custodians of these money bills. But I don't think that there's anything new. I'm not saying that members shouldn't ask questions or what, but I think that we are better exposed than other committees in dealing with this. I hope that then the members will be there. It's a pity that we have never had a workshop ourselves on the BRR. So in terms of so that we have a position as a committee that so that as a committee we have a position that says this is how this thing we think should be approached. But there is a clause, a special desert clause in the Act that says that recommends what should be taken into account when we do the budget review report and recommendation. But
yes, sir. I'll speak off the record. I don't want to belabor this point, sir, but you know, I don't think we've got a clear understanding as the committee yet on our role and function in that whole BRR kind of process. So for me, I would say maybe we must just go and observe there, rather than going to go and ask questions and participate in that thing, because it's going to look like we're totally confused. You know? And especially if you're chairing the session, that's my own opinion, chairperson, because you see, in that thing, it's really just of the committees themselves, what the committees are supposed to do, and there's no clearly defined role and function for us as yet. Because the rules should actually make that interface between ourselves and the committees a practicality. Okay? So, I think maybe we just go listen.
I think that we should be free to enrich the process
okay.
ourselves, so that we don't really constrain. We will get inputs from other people. We shouldn't, what you call it, constrain ourselves.
Okay.
But, can I ask you, or maybe Honorable Mashiko, because she was there the whole time, just briefly, what is the, what you call it, there's a subcommittee for the money bills. Yeah? Do you want just briefly to report to the committee, comrade, what you remember that we're supposed to go to the chairperson, to the house chair, about the process for what, especially around the
budget office,
the study tour, or you want to make to report, comrade, just briefly, no?
Chair, no, we had the meeting with the chair of the house. In principle, he agreed that there will be a trip for us. The second thing is that there is another trip by the speaker and by the chair, and he also mentioned about this, but our trip will be separate from the one that is the speaker's trip and the chair's trip. So he confirmed that it depends on us now for the program and the plan, and that is the story. Thank you, Chair.
I don't know if someone wants to add about which is whose budget that you mentioned.
I mentioned.
Whose budget?
The trip of the speaker is out of the speaker's budget. Our trip will be out of our budget.
Oh.
I'm not sure if it was that straightforward as that. my understanding was that we said, it's what we said as a committee, that if the this study tour is led by the speaker, it means that they must take the responsibility for the budget, and the committee will have its own budget. But we might be split up because there are two separate delegations in order to avoid a huge delegation. two separate delegations, one led by the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, Honorable Mahlangu, other one led by the Speaker. It looks like the Speaker, in terms of his program is full. He might not necessarily be there. He might appoint someone else to lead the delegation. So that's where we are. I don't know if there's any addition.
No, that's
fine.
It's fine.
Right,
thank you.
Now, it's the trip will include the two finance committees. So.